enjoyable day today, and if you haven't made plans to stay, go ahead, please, and make plans to stay to fellowship together and eat a meal together. I know there's going to be a lot of food back there, so don't worry about it. Just plan on staying. Before I get started in Ephesians chapter 6, so if you want to open up your Bible there, we're going to spend our some time this morning together in that passage. You're going to hear a little bit in the future about a young man that's with us this morning, Ethan Eck. If you may know his grandpa, who is here for quite some time with us, that everyone has grown to love through the years, we're going to pick up a little bit of support to help him as he goes to the AIM program at Sunset. That's Adventures and Missions, and then he's going to go abroad. Doesn't know for sure yet. I don't believe where he's going to end up, but in a field somewhere around the world with an established team already there to help train him. And then he's going to go back to Sunset and to go through their school of preaching. And so he's going to visit with us a little while back in the fellowship time, and he's going to end the day with a devotional thought for us back there. And I just mentioned that because we as a congregation, we are going to have the opportunity to partner with him over the next number of months as he grows in his walk with Christ and becomes ready to begin sharing the gospel message with people all around the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to have the opportunity to support a young man who has given his life to working in the kingdom in that way. And so if you aren't planning on staying, shame on you. But anyway, maybe you should meet him before you leave. And we're going to offer the opportunity as well. If you want individually, I know some of us have done it before when CJ was at school and others. If you individually would like to help, he's still raising a little bit of support, and I'm not sure exactly how much he needs, but if you would like to do that, you can visit with me or one of the elders, and we'll give you some more information on that. But anyway, we look forward to sharing a meal with the family, the Eck family, and you should get to meet him and visit with them for a few minutes today. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, Paul starts in this little section as he's ending this letter. He says, finally, we're wrapping things up. Paul's going, I'm wrapping everything up, and the things that I've been sharing with you through this letter, the things that I've been trying to do and letting you know the absolute importance and the glory of the church. That's a theme of Ephesians. The church is eternally significant. It is absolutely essential in this life that we understand that the church is extremely important in this world. This world is never going to get to know who Jesus Christ is without his church. And so Paul is writing and he's encouraging and he's trying to get the church to understand their role in this world and how vital it is. And he does that by talking to them not only about their duty but about their glory and what God has planned for them. And the picture is beautiful. And as we learn more and more about what God has in store for us and how much God has loved us and how all God has done for us and the glory that is waiting for us as his church, oh, I hope it excites you when you read things like that. When you read a letter like this that Paul wrote so lovingly and completely for the church, we get here and we start wrapping it up. And he's drawing it to an end, he's drawing it to a close, and he's going to say some things that we really need to grasp and understand. We don't need to take this passage out of context. We need to keep it right here. This is about the church, and he's talking to the entirety of the church. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Finally, be strong. Here is my final things that I want you to understand. You be strong in the power, not of your might, but of his might. You draw strength from him. You understand that he is the one who overcame death. He is the one that overcame this world. He is the one that overcame all the things that Satan threw out. He is the one who overcame those. So you find strength in him. You put all of your faith and all of your dependence upon him, and you learn from him, and you know that you have glory from the Father because of him and all that he's done. finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And we know this text and we call it the armor of God. And what a powerful way to end this letter. He says, all right, here we go. Put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, he's getting ready to start talking about what this full armor of God is. But I want us to grasp a couple of things. First off, about the armor of God. The armor of God is very intentional. God didn't just randomly throw these things out. And as a soldier or as anyone else, you have armor on. There are specific things in different sports or in the army or whatever the task that's at hand, they have armor on. And they have that armor very specifically for a certain duty or task. And the armor of God is no different. It is very intentional. God has made it for one thing, and He has a specific enemy that it goes against. This armor that God is giving us, as Paul is saying, this armor is for one enemy. It's not for anyone else. It's for one enemy, and that enemy is Satan himself, the devil. That's what he says. And so when we begin reading what the armor is, we understand that this armor is to fight against Satan and everything that he's throwing against us. This armor that God has thought through is very, very intentional. And it's used in a very specific way. He didn't say, take up most of the armor. He didn't say, take up the armor that you're most comfortable with. He didn't say, pick and choose whatever armor you want. He said, take up the full armor of God. Well, what if it's a little bit heavy? Well, I'm sorry, you need it all because you see, it works together. And if you're missing part of it, you're never going to fully understand the benefit of what God has for you. You're never going to truly understand what the armor is for if you don't have it all. So he says, take up the full armor of God. And then listen what he says, why? So that you can stand firm. Three times he's going to use this phrase in these few verses. Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Don't retreat. Don't lose your ground. And if you've ever played King of the Mountain as a kid, you know that you have to stand firm. Everyone's trying to knock you off the mountain. And he says, you stand firm. You don't allow anyone to knock you off. Don't allow Satan to sneak up on you, to do anything against you. You stand firm. But it's not in your own power and your strength. How did he start? You stand according to His strength and His might, not yours. And we use this armor so that our intentions are, we will stand firm in all that we are as the church. We're not going to back up. We're not going to back away from what God has created us to be. No matter what the world has to say, no matter what man has to say, no matter what our government has to say to us, no matter what's politically correct at the time, those things don't matter. He says, you stand firm in the strength of the Lord. In His might, you stand firm. This is what the armor that God is giving us is for, that we will stand firm. Then in verse 14, he begins with the armor. Let's read this text together. Again, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we'll end with 18 following. I'm not going to skip it. I promise you. We'll come back to it in just a moment. Hear what he says. And if you'll notice, every one of them, when he says stand firm, it's in past tense. Then he starts, having girded your loins. Once you've done those things, once you've put on the armor of God, then and only then will you be able to stand firm. Because if you haven't girded yourself, if you haven't clothed yourself, if you haven't put on your helm, if you haven't used all of your armor, you're not ready for battle. You cannot be successful. It's an impossibility. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to overcome. You'll never be able to defeat the enemy if you're not properly equipped. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. There is truth. Now, we're not going to spend our time this morning talking about that, but we know that. The Lord Himself said, I am the truth. We know truth. The truth is in God's Word, and He's explained it to us. Paul has spent several chapters, even in this letter, describing and detailing what truth is. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is our Savior, that He is the Lord of our life, that He is the Creator, that He is everything. We understand that. And He says, girded yourself with truth. And He says, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now you got to think, each one of those pieces, and if you've watched any movies like those gladiator movies, you'll start kind of getting the picture of at least the armor that he's talking about here. And he says, girding your loins, and you, kind of a girdle, if you will, going from your waist down to your knees. And it's to protect the front of you. And then he says, the breastplate, you're putting on this armor across the front of you. And I know in the police department, and we had... We call them bulletproof vests, most people. They're not really bulletproof, but it's a thing to protect your insides. And it starts up here and from here and wraps around you. And it's got plates inside it. And it's made out of different materials. But there's one reason that you wear it. And that's to stop those firing, those flaming darts that's being shot at you. Kind of like this. So today, we would think of more of a bulletproof vest. Then it's something to stop a sword or an arrow or those kinds of things. But he said the breastplate of righteousness, of rightness. You've got to be educated and trained in what right is. Because there is right and wrong in this world. And so we begin putting on all of these things, and you're going to put on a breastplate of righteousness. You'll be morally sound in what and who you are. And shod your feet with the preparation of the Gospels. And I've heard this over and over and over through my life. People who've been in the military, to all of the most important thing for you to take care of is your feet. A soldier that has bad feet, that hasn't taken care of his feet, is a worthless soldier for himself or for the rest of his crew. They're not going to get anywhere. And I've done this, and I think I've told this story. When we used to go to the mountains and hike all the time, I'd take our youth group up there every year, and I would warn them and warn them and warn them about what kind of shoes they needed to take, what kind of socks they needed to wear. And you need to be very careful, because in one day, in just a few hours, you can tear your feet up so badly that you can't walk the rest of the time. One young man went, and I didn't check his gear. Normally, I dump everything out on the ground, and I said, you don't need this or this or this. You need this. You need to change this. And he had brand new boots. He pulled them out of the box when we got there. We're getting ready to walk 15 miles up the side of a mountain. And I said, I told you, don't bring new boots. Oh, these are the most comfortable thing in the world. No, they're not. Not only are they not, they're not even made to do what we're going to do. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Not like I've ever heard a teenager tell me that before. I'll be fine. We walked that day about 7 or 8 miles, and he kept falling behind further and further and further. Till finally I went back and I said, what is wrong? Go, I'm tired of you lagging behind. I caught up with him again a few minutes later. He had his boots off and his feet in the water, and they were bleeding. All because he didn't take care of his feet. He was told. I explained everything that he needed to do, but he didn't want to listen. Paul says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, when we start going out into this world and we start walking around and we're starting to do the things that we're supposed to do and we're not ready, we can make a bloody mess of our life and those around us. The preparation of the gospel. He says, you need to know what the gospel message is all about. You need to be ready to walk wherever you need to walk. You need to go into people's lives and begin talking to them and sharing with them the gospel message. You don't need to allow people to change who you are. You need to change people because you know the truth and you have prepared yourself to do that. We've got to learn to understand the good news and how it affects me and those around me. Taking up the shield of faith that protects against those things intended to take my life. Do you get that? Do you hear what he's saying? The shield of faith that's going to protect against the flaming, to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. He is out to take our life, your life, and all those that you love. He wants to destroy all of our lives. And he said, so you take the shield of faith. Now think about all of these. Every one of these parts of our armor are all used facing forward. When I turn around, what good is this armor? When I take my eyes off of the direction I'm supposed to be going, when I take my eyes off the responsibility that God has laid at my feet, and I begin retreating and running away and not standing firm, what happens? It leaves every vital part of my body wide open to all the arrows that the evil one is shooting at me to destroy my life. Everything. Helmet of salvation, the intellect, the knowledge, all of the things that he wants from us. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every one of them, offensive weapons. We don't often think about the church as being offensive. Now, I don't mean offensive. To say ugly things and mean things, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul is saying. But what he is saying is we're on the offense, not the defense. We don't ever take and say, I have to explain why I'm doing it. I get to tell you what Christ intended for his church and his kingdom. There's a big difference. I don't have to defend my choices. I don't have to defend who I am. All I have to do is explain who Christ is and what his church is. Now I can go forward. I can continually move forward further and further and further and make a difference in this life. I can stand firm in everything that we're doing. We don't have to change anything because Christ is the one who's given us everything that we have. The tools, this armor that he has given us, are not intended for retreat. They're intended to go on the offense. The kingdom of God is intended to rule in this world. Do you understand that? The kingdom of God is intended to rule here. We need to be on the offense. We need to be talking to people. We need to take the message of the kingdom out everywhere. This is the perfect kingdom. This is the kingdom of the God who created this world. The kingdom of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be embarrassed about it. We don't have to do any of those things. We need to rule this world because it belongs to our Father. That's why the kingdom is about being on offense, not defense. We need to get that. Victory is ours. If we truly believed, as he was just talking about, just immediately before this text, this context here, or just earlier the end of chapter 5, we're talking about, if we believe, truly believe, that we are the bride of Christ, how powerful would that make us? how glorious is it to be the bride of Jesus Christ? It changes our attitude. It changes who we are and how we think. Now he's going to end with this armor. Really, really important. And I believe here is the part where he says, it's your choice. I've explained to you about the importance of the church. I've explained to you and shared with you the glory that God has given the church. And I'm telling you, you need to remember to be strong and to stand firm. You need to have on the full armor of God. Now he says, it's your choice. That armor that can only be used one way. In verse 18 through 20, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Listen what he says. With all prayer, with all this armor I'm giving you, or all this armor I'm reminding you that God has given you, now then you implement all of this with prayer and petition at all times. Don't take it off. You have this armor on all the time. And then when you're ready to use it, when you're ready to stand firm, then you use it this way. You pray with petition all the time. Prayer. Who are we praying to? This is Godward. We're talking to Him. We're praying to Him. We're asking for His guidance. We're asking for His strength. We're asking for His knowledge and His wisdom to use all this armor that we have available to us to conquer this world for Him. It is our realization that we need Him in everything in our life. We need His wisdom. If we don't have His wisdom, we'll never be able to use this armor that He's given us. How powerful is that? Petition. He's saying, you petition for those, for God's involvement in the lives of those that are around us in this church. We need to be praying for one another constantly. We need to know what's going on in each other's lives. And when there's a struggle going on, we need to be praying about that struggle. We need to let each other know we're praying for each other. I'm praying for you. I hope you overcome this. And I'm praying towards that end. That's petition. That's stopping and saying, I want what's best for the rest of this body that I'm a part of. Who's in need of petition? We all are. Every single one of us. Pray at all times. There's nothing so powerful, so peaceful, as stopping and praying, God, I need you. I need you today. I need you in my life as I go forward and try to do all that you have in store for me, all that you've told me and commanded me to be, all of those things. I need you in my life. Father, there are people that are going against me that it's so much pressure. I can't take it. I need you. And we give that to God. We give it over. Because the evil one will never stop. He's going to continue firing those darts at us, those arrows at us, every instant that he can do it. And we need God in our life every single day, every hour of the day. Pray in the Spirit. He's not talking some miraculous thing. He's talking about the deep truths that have been made manifest to the people here, the Ephesians, through the very word that's been preached to them. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert with perseverance. Don't stop. It's an everyday thing. I know when you do something over and over and over, it becomes monotonous. And especially when times when you look and you go, I really don't need that. Maybe I don't need that in my life today. Maybe I can do without it today. I really don't have time to do that today. And we'll forget about it. And then the next day or a couple of days, and we slowly get out of the habit and we slowly lose the dependence on God, and we can't do that. He says, be on the alert with perseverance. Don't stop. It's an everyday thing. with make petition for all the saints. Just talking about. If you haven't looked around this morning, look around, and we're supposed to know what's going on in each other's lives. Not nosy to gossip, but to know what's going on for strength and courage. How can I offer a prayer petition for you if I don't know anything about you? If I don't know what's struggling, what you're struggling with in your life? How can you possibly pray for me if you don't know what my struggles are? And so we share those things with one another because we've built a relationship with each other. We know things, we depend on each other, and we keep that. And the only time that we share that is when we're sharing it with God and saying, I love this person, Father. They are part of me, and I know they're struggling with these things. And Father, I need you to intercede on their behalf. And I don't know how you're going to do that, Father. Maybe it's through me. Maybe it's through their spouse. Maybe it's through a brother or sister. Maybe it's through one of the elders. Or maybe it's just one of the children. Maybe it's whoever. I don't know, God. I don't know who you're going to do it, but I'm asking you to intercede on their behalf. And so I make petition to the Father for you. The only way we're going to be successful in this life is by dependence on God. And then we have to have this attitude like he had. Now, Paul says in verse 19, and pray on my behalf. Now, it's interesting. Listen to what he says, and we'll end with this. He says, that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly, just as I ought to speak. And when Paul could be asking them to pray for anything, Paul could be saying, pray that the prison doors are open, or that I get an audience with the king, with Caesar, that I can be released and that I can go on and go to different places and begin preaching again. He could have asked for anything that he wanted to have asked for, but what he asked for was power to speak boldly. He said, pray that I will have the power to speak boldly the message of Jesus Christ. Boldness to speak the truth, not things that they want to hear and find favor with them, but that I will have boldness to speak the truth. And help me to complete my stewardship. How many times do we ask for prayers for people from our family, and we stop at, I have a doctor's appointment? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong to pray people when we're sick. Absolutely, we should. But when we stop there, we've stopped not as we're supposed to be as Christians, but we've stopped in a retreat. We're not moving forward. Pray for me that I will have the power to speak boldly about the kingdom of God. Pray for me that as I'm teaching or as I'm preaching or whatever I'm doing, whatever you're doing, and I have an opportunity to meet with someone this week and they've asked me a question, pray for me that I'll have the right words to share with this person in my life because they need to hear the gospel. Help me to use all that armor and all the wisdom that I have to teach them the truth, because I know we're supposed to be moving forward and we're supposed to stand firm in what we believe and who we are. And so we need to be like Paul, asking for prayers, to be bold in all that we do, to finish what God has given us to finish. It is truly a glorious and eternally significant privilege to be a part of God's church. It is a wonderful thing. And until we believe that, until we believe the absolute importance, we're never going to make a difference in this world. And I know that we do, but we struggle at times with believing that God is really going to use us in this powerful way. And we've got to, every single day, get up and put that armor on and be ready to make a difference in this world. The importance and the glory of the church, Paul lays out beautifully. So this morning, just as Paul was trying to do with this church in Ephesus, are you ready to be the man or the woman God created you to be in Jesus Christ? Are you ready for Him to use you in such a powerful way that you cannot even imagine what He's going to do? God is. Now the question is, are you? Are you ready to throw off those cumbersome robes of this world and be clothed with the armor that God has for you? If you haven't done that, if you haven't accepted that clothing from God, why not? You can be clothed with Christ this morning. If you haven't been, again, I just ask, why not? It's your choice. If you haven't made that commitment, if you haven't allowed Him to rule in your life, if you haven't the dependence on Him, as Paul talked all through this book of Ephesians, why not? God is ready to use you in such a way you cannot even imagine. But won't it be wonderful when you can stop in the days ahead and look back and go, whew, look what He did through me. Do it again, God. Do it again. Help me. Give me strength to do what You've called me to be. If you need to respond to Him this morning, to be clothed with Christ, don't put it off. Don't wait any longer. If you're ready to serve Him, He's ready to welcome you home. So if you need to respond to His invitation this morning, we ask you to come while we stand and we sing together.
Jesus waiting, waiting in the cold. He will be.